Good morning, everyone. Well, here we go. It's lovely to see all of you here today, and I welcome any visitors we have. Please be welcome. And it's lovely to have the company of those people who are watching online. My name's Marilyn Young, and I'm your worship guide today. Well, the year's begun. School's had its first week. Very short week, but it's a good introduction just to get started. Yesterday we had the car boot sale. No, Elaine made $400 on her stall, but I'm not quite sure of the amount for the whole day. But it was a very good day. The stall holders are all very happy to be here and get along really well. So, and the people that volunteer.
There's good coffee they got them in.
Yeah, great coffee.
Thank you to all the volunteers.
I'm just about to say that. So I would like to thank all of those people who volunteered and worked so hard to make it a successful day. It really is a boost to our church community, so thank you very much for that. And now Victor Township's getting a little bit back to normal. Not quite as many cars on the road, but it's lovely to settle into a new year. Our AGM is on Sunday the 22nd, following the church service, and nominations for positions close today. So if you have any, get them in today. The report should be ready by next Friday. And once more, the centre's come alive with the many groups that call this place home. We have coffee and chat, the toy library, crafty capers, all of our church groups starting up again, but we have many other groups that come here for courses and training and dance. So the place is really buzzing again. And for those other groups like Messy Church and Yeehaw and Yarns, you can catch them on Facebook and see what they're up to. Now today, this afternoon, we have Pray Together, which is a wonderful occasion when all of the Christians from all of the churches around the area come together and as one people that share one God. And it is truly amazing when you go out and you see all of these people and all of these young people and families, and you think, wow, this is really great. So that's on 3:30 till 5:30 this afternoon. So we'd love to see you there. It is a wonderful occasion. So now we shall begin our service. If you'd like more of the community news, scan the QR code. Oh, yes, sorry. We're going to show a video of Pray Together this afternoon from last year. So if we can just have that video.
Is that with blank screens?
If they can find it. Here we go.
Last year, as the Christian churches of the South Coast, we came together on the first weekend in February to seek God's heart for our neighbourhood and our churches as we prayed and worshipped together as one church.
We prayed for our churches, we prayed for our community, we prayed for those who were in need, we prayed for our chaplains, we prayed for our schools, we prayed for our businesses. We're believing God that He would do an amazing work right here in Victor Harbour.
It was so great to be together with representatives across all the churches of the coast, singing with one voice, praying with one heart. There was a sense of unity, there was a sense of togetherness, there was a sense of anticipation of what could be and what God might do in our region in the year ahead. And we're looking forward to that again this year too.
But we know that God's not done. There is more for our community. So this year, on February 1st, we'd love you to join us as we gather again at Encounter Lutheran, the church coming together and praying that God's kingdom would be right here in Victor Harbour.
Bayside Church, Victor Harbour.
Christian Gospel Centre.
Victor Harbour Salvos.
Victor Harbour Church of Christ.
Exalt Church, Port Elliot.
Yuki Uniting Church.
St. John of Arc Catholic Parish, Victor Harbour. St. John the Apostle Catholic Church in Woolwa.
South Coast Congregational Church.
Yankton Parish at the South Coast.
Victor Harbour Lutheran Church.
Newland Port Elliot Uniting Church in Victor Harbour.
Adair Uniting Church.
Trinity Church. Futures Church, Victor Harbour.
Victor Harbour Baptist Church.
Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
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 Amen. So that's this afternoon at Encounter College, so we'd love to see you there. And now let's begin. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. We gather to boast only in the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now let's stand for our first song.
Jesus, oh, for Jesus.
morning, everybody.
Good morning.
What a delight it was to be able to come and walk around at the car boot sale here yesterday and just experience the fellowship and the conversations between buyers, sellers, congregation members, all serving together. I bought a few things. I'm sure some of you bought a few things too. But along the way, as I walked around, I thought, how on earth do you choose what to buy and what not to buy? You've probably got your own strategies that you use about what to choose to buy and what not to choose to buy. It left me thinking, I wonder how God goes about making his choices. Well, today we are going to hear that God chooses the lowly, the despised things of this world to shame the proud. And so we often confess that we will seek and make our choices in different ways. We will seek status and power and human approval. The song we just sung spoke against that. We will often trust in our own intelligence rather than the message of the cross. We might like to think that we are wiser and that we know best. But friends, we have a Lord Jesus who knows us even better. And still he says to us, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so today, Jesus invites us again to recognize that his wisdom is greater than our wisdom. He invites us to lay our burdens down, our anxieties down, and give it to Jesus that we may receive his rest instead. So let's spend this moment now to give to Jesus those things that we carry, that we may find our rest again in him. I invite you into this moment of silence before we pray together the prayer on the screen. We pray together. O Lord, our God, you know us better than we know ourselves. We all share a deep need to rest with you. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Give us true repentance. Forgive us all our wrongs. Transform us by your Spirit to walk with you each day, to learn to serve each other, and through the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, to come at last to heaven. Amen. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives, so do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Friends, be at peace. You are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us all wisdom, all righteousness, all holiness and redemption. And because of Jesus, you are forgiven. He has removed your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. And that's the power of the cross of Jesus for us. So let's walk together with the Lord, our Saviour and friend, acknowledging his wisdom as we worship him today. God's peace be with you. Amen. I invite you to stand and share with those around you a greeting of peace. If you don't know the people near you, introduce yourself to them, welcome them as we worship together this day. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Thank you.
Today, may I lead you in a brief prayer to prepare our hearts for the word. Lord God, whose ways are not our ways, we thank you for the foolishness of the cross. Break down our reliance on human wisdom, intellect and strength, and teach us to find our righteousness, holiness and redemption in Christ alone. Amen. Thank you, Lyle.
Good. St. Paul is writing to the congregation in Corinth. Chapter 1 of his first letter. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is God's word for us today.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson for today is recorded in Matthew chapter 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Lord, may your word dwell in us and bear much fruit to your glory.
Let's give thanks for the offering. Gracious God, thank you for all you have given us. Receive these gifts and use them and us for your kingdom. May we lift up the lowly, bring hope to the weary, and shine the light of Christ in our community. Make us faithful, humble servants, joyful in the wisdom of the cross. In Jesus' name, we give thanks. Amen. And now I pray for Pastor. Dear God, you know us better than we know ourselves. Open our ears to hear your truth Open our eyes to see those who suffer around us and open our hearts to receive the message our pastor brings. Break down our reliance on our own wisdom and shape us by the wisdom of the cross. Make us attentive, compassionate, and ready to be transformed by your Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Marilyn. Bring grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You might remember this hat from a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, from a few of the giggles, I'm getting the feeling some of you do remember this hat from a few weeks ago. So may I say, Kalostus, welcome aboard the bus for this, the third week of our tour through the first two chapters of St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Friends, do you remember that special word that Paul loved to use, that special word meaning church, that Paul used when he first wrote in the Greek language? Do you remember what it was? A word that spoke about how God has called us out to be his holy people. It's the word ecclesia. Ecclesia, meaning the church. The people of God called out, set apart by God to be his holy people. People set apart from the world that surrounds us. And this ecclesia includes you and me. Just like those people back then when Paul first wrote his letter to these people, we are called out, set apart to be holy people. But in reality, we spend our entire lives wanting to work out what it means to be set apart by God as his holy people. That was the first week of our tour. And then last week, yeah, that was our first week of the tour out the window. But last week, on the second leg of our tour, we noticed how in the city of Corinth, the Christians in that city were experiencing forms of disunity. They weren't all getting along. Some said they followed this bloke. Others said they followed this bloke. But Paul pointed all the people back to the very matter that unites us all. We are all in need of a saviour. We are all in need of Jesus, who went to the cross for us all. It's the cross of Jesus that unites us as one. And so last week, we ended the tour by looking at this verse. Do you remember looking out the window and seeing this? From 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is what? The power of God. And did you notice as we started the third week of our tour that we started again on this very same verse? That Lyle, when he read the word, started again with this verse? You might be wondering, why are we going round and round on this one verse, looking at it again and again, second week, third week of the tour? Why are we doing this? Well, you might think you've seen that verse once, and you might be thinking, surely there must be more that we can see in this letter. But hold on to your seats. There is good reason why we're going to go round and round this roundabout, because the point is very important. I just hope you don't get too dizzy as we go round and round the roundabout this morning. But when you've completed the fourth week of this brief tour through St. Paul's first letter, the first two chapters only, I want you to be able to look back and know that this verse is a central verse in Paul's letter. Some would say it's even the thesis verse, the verse where Paul states so clearly what his most important truth is that he wants to get across to the people. It's that perfect summary of his entire letter that he writes to the ecclesia, the church, the church of God in the city of Corinth. Will you read it with me again? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I want you, as we go around and round this roundabout, to remember these words today. And so, you know how the Greek people love to use big expressions to be able to speak? How they use their hands to talk? Well, what better way to teach you these words than to use our hands today? And being Australians, what better language to use than a little bit of Australian Auslan Sign Language? So get your hands loose. We are going to teach you today, as we go round and round this roundabout, this verse using some special signs. Let's start with the first word, for. Put your fingers together. For. So fingers together. For. The message. Start like this. And then you point one way and you look that way too. The message. Message. You've got it. Next one. The cross. The big cross. Big as you can. Big cross. Is foolishness. Oh, I like this sign. With your left arm, hold it up as if it's a snake, and your right arm like in a fist pointing towards you, and you do this. Foolishness. Foolishness. And if you're not careful, you might hit yourself. And that would be foolish to do, wouldn't it? Foolishness. Foolishness. To those. Those over there. Not you guys, those over there who are perishing. In other words, who are coming to the end, just like the end of a game of football. Perishing. Goal. Time to stop. What's next? To us. You've seen me do this already. Pointing to self with arms crossed and then swing out to everybody. To us. Who are being saved. I've taught you this one before on a previous bus trip. It's like you are stuck here, but God comes along, picks you up, and brings him close to your heart. Saved. It's the power, so power, of God. So as if there's a strong rock, God, and then we point up. I think you've got it. Let's see if we can do this together today. For the message of the cross is, now let's get this right, foolishness, foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Once more. For the message of the cross is foolishness. What was that again? The snake. Foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Give yourself a clap. Okay, time to get off this roundabout. What do you think? You getting dizzy yet? Yep, let's keep going. You see, Paul's letter is all about the power of the cross of Jesus, uniting us and saving us all. And Paul is determined to make this community in Corinth a Christ-centered community that is completely held together by the cross of Jesus alone. And he calls them to see their identity only in the light of the cross of Jesus. Now, Greeks and Jews at times can be a little bit judgmental about what makes a good teacher. But a good teacher in our eyes will always be one that uses historical evidence to back up their particular thesis. And friends, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did. He went back and he found a verse from Isaiah 29, which he then goes on to share after he gives his big thesis. And there he quotes from Isaiah saying, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." And then, my friends, Paul goes on to apply his thesis to the ecclesia, to the church of God, and to us, and to all who read this letter still today. And Paul applies this thesis to us by focusing on how God calls us to himself. Yes, God is calling us to himself. He does. He calls you to himself, and that's why he sent Jesus. Yes, God has chosen all of you and me to come to him and discover our identity in the cross of Jesus. It sounds foolish, doesn't it, that the cross would be a place where we would find our identity? In our world, there's so much talk about what is true wisdom and what is foolish and what are the stumbling blocks. But in the end, it is God's word and wisdom that matters and not yours or mine. Now, we almost drove right past verse 24. But in verse 24, Paul turns away from all that noise of the Greeks and the Jews and helps us focus on who we really are. That we are the ones that God has called out to be his holy people. And so, can you remember my favourite word for us? The word that is used by Paul to describe the people that God has called out to be his holy people? Ecclesia, you get it. Excellent. You are a good bus tour group. Well, we are called out. We are called out of many cultures from all corners of the world. And that happens still today. God calling people out to be his holy people around the world. And to whom God has called out, Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And Christ who was crucified shows us God's great power. He even shows us how wise our God is. In 25, Paul writes, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." And then, friends, Paul makes his application so personal. So personal. So personal that it gets me right here. He says to the people, "Brothers, sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Were any of you wise by human standards? Were any of you influential? Were any of you of noble birth?" There's not many of us who can claim such noble accolades. "For when God called you, you are more likely like me, foolish, lowly, despised, rejected." That's who we were. But did that matter to God? Not at all. God still calls us. What grace that is. Katapliktikos. Amazing. Friends, think of who you were before God called you. And think of who Paul was before God called him. He was the one who was persecuting the Christians, yet now God had called him to lead his church, to be the number one missionary for his cause. So think of who you were before you were called. I'm sure your life has changed since then. But most amazingly, God didn't call you based upon human standards or wisdom or your pedigree. He chose to call you. He has accepted you and welcomed you to himself, not just for a little while, but forever. You were and still are enough for him. And all this was made possible because Christ Jesus and his sacrifice upon the cross. He is our redemption. He is our holiness. He is our righteousness. And so, friends, on this bus trip, as foolish as this may sound, our Lord Jesus has died for you and for me. And he did so, so that we may know we are God's. And it's our belief in the work of Jesus that makes all the difference. Friends, right now, as we look around us, we see that the world is perishing. And we don't need to look too far to realise that we also might be perishing as well. We just need to take notice of what happens to us as we age. Our bodies grow weak and we are unable to do what we once did. And we feel helpless and frustrated and stressed over these changes. The world will say, unless you're productive, unless you're participating perfectly, unless you're contributing to the community, you've got no place. But the gospel of God is so different. God sees us differently. And God's acceptance of you and of me is not based upon our productivity, our ability or effort. It's based upon Jesus and his cross and who he has declared us to be. You are his beloved sons and daughters forever. The way Christ accepts you and sees you then starts to shape who we are. It starts to shape the way we accept each other and how we see each other as we live in the temporary realities of our weakness. In Jesus, we can face the reality that we are perishing and wasting away outwardly, but we can do so with that amazing confidence that God's Spirit is renewing us inwardly each and every day. So friends, even though we face the reality of death each and every day, we can do so with the confidence that we are in Christ and he is the one who has made us holy. True wisdom, my friends, is knowing that our status, our redemption, our righteousness come solely from Christ. How amazing is that? That God would use the weak, that God would use the foolish like you and me, and that God uses us to shame the strong and the wise. And so, friends, as we continue this journey for one more week, let's remember who we are as we travel on the bus together, that we are his forever. It's his work that we can boast in. We can never boast in our own work when it comes to our salvation and our relationship with God. It is his work for us on the cross that unites us and has the power to change absolutely everything. It's his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead that makes it possible for each of us to face our mortality with complete peace and confidence that God is with us even in our suffering. How wonderful that we on the bus together are his forever, and it's his work alone that we can boast in. That's the power of the cross. He will see you through to life eternal, and the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen. See you next week for our final segment. Today, let's come before our God in our weakness, acknowledging that we are totally dependent upon Him, and seek His wisdom and strength. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise, for you have given us Jesus as our wisdom, our righteousness, and redemption. And we pray for your protection over your entire church, your ecclesia around the world. Uphold those who are persecuted, and continue to enable your gospel to bring new life to people of all nations. We pray for the churches together here on the South Coast, and ask your protection and blessing upon this afternoon's Pray Together gathering. Show us what it means to be one body in this region, your region, the great South Coast of the Holy Spirit. We give thanks for the conversations, the fellowship and the friendship shared at yesterday's car boot sale. Sustain and renew the energy of all who volunteered and served there that day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Today we pray specifically for our Encounter Lutheran College. We give thanks for the successful first week of school. And we pray for Kelvin, the principal, who now prepares for his final term here at Encounter. We pray for the college board as they search for a new principal. We ask that you may provide a committed Christian keen to model your faith, faith in you, and to live out the values of your church based upon the faith that you have given to us. We pray for the staff of Encounter Lutheran College throughout this interim period, that they may not feel anxious but be hope-filled. We pray for the leadership team who step up in the interim before a permanent principal is appointed and installed. And we pray for the students and families that they too will experience a smooth transition and not feel unsettled by any of the changes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we also hold today in our hearts the places in the world where conflict rages. We hold in our hearts people who are displaced. We hold in our hearts people who are crushed by realities beyond their control. And we hold in our hearts the plight and the struggle of those within our community and those beyond. We lift up to you those who are suffering from sickness and disability, and those that we name in our hearts at this time. We also pray for the people of our neighbourhoods and communities. Help us to be a people who reach out and embrace others with love. Help us to be a people who come together not just for our own benefit, but to lay down our lives for those who are pushed to the margins. Lord, you alone are our strength, even though we may be weak. Even though we may be wasting away outwardly, we thank you that inwardly you are renewing us day by day. Even though our bodies may perish, you have promised us new life with you forever, and so we praise you. And Lord, since we can do nothing good without you, send us your Spirit so that your purposes may be fulfilled in us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and became subject to evil and death, You, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. To the world, his death was a stumbling block. It was sheer foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power and the wisdom of God. And so we remember how our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Friends, let's proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so, as you come to the Lord's table today, may God's peace be with you as you trust in his wisdom given to you through the cross of Jesus. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sin.
I believe.
Yeah. comes to us from Christ above. I believe the church is holy.
Beautiful.
so, friends, may the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen you and preserve you in body and in soul to life eternal. Go in peace. Amen. Let's give thanks. God of power and wisdom, we thank you for feeding us at this table with the foolishness of your love, the body and blood of your Son. By this mystery, you have turned our world upside down. We came here with our pride, but you have given us the righteousness of Christ. We came here with our weakness, but you have given us the strength of the cross. As we go forth, keep us from boasting in ourselves, and let our only boast be in you, Lord Jesus. Send us out now to be fools for Christ, serving the low and the lowly and the despised, until your kingdom of grace is known by all. Amen. And so may you go into this new week knowing that the strength of the Lord is yours. Let the foolishness of the cross be your wisdom and your strength. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favour and give you peace. Amen. I invite you to stand for our final song of praise today.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came. To final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Well, that's week 3 or 4 of our bus tour. Did any of you find a favourite action from the bus tour's instructions today? The 4 one? Or was it the message one? Or was it the foolish one, the God one? Did you have a favourite action? Anyway, practice them later on. Maybe it was the foolishness one. I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, thank you for your participation this morning. As we look ahead, there's some things I want to remind you of. And the big one happens to be what's starting off in 2 weeks' time. 2 weeks' time we have our introduction into our Lenten series. It happens on Transfiguration Sunday, just before Ash Wednesday. But as of the 14th or 15th of February, we enter into a seven-week period where we are using some resources published by Lectio 365, where we will be exploring some beautiful faith practices with the help of the Desert Fathers and Mothers of the 3rd and 4th century. The learning is quite profound and deep and speaks well into our modern world today. And I really want to invite you today to continue those conversations about being part of a small group for those 7 weeks during this coming season. Those small groups will start meeting any time in the week after the 15th of February. You might stay in your existing small group. You might divide your small group and invite others to join you. You might start a small group. You might choose to say, I'm going to go along on the Thursday morning at 9:30 and be part of that small group. Some of you might even want to say, how about we form an online small group and invite people from afar away as Kangaroo Island to Salem and Strathalbyn to join us online. There is interest from across our region for such a group to exist. Because it's not just our congregation that's doing this series. Strathalbyn will be doing it too. That will influence a little bit what happens at Goolwa. KI people have said they're interested in doing this as well. So as a whole Southern Lutheran Ministries area, we have opportunity to go deeper this season of Lent using these resources. So on some of the seats today are these little sign-up sheets. You can use that to request the small group Bible studies for these 7 weeks. You can also use it to mark down which group you're in or which group you'd like to be in or whether you'd like to lead a group. And there's a box at the information table at the doorway where you can place your completed forms. There's spare forms there if there's not one on your seat. There are also pencils and pens out there too so that you can fill those forms out as well. A big part of this series is the opportunity to be able to experience the daily devotions on the Lectio 365 app. That means using your phone, which happens to be not on me at this present time. But on Google Play, on Android phones, you've got your app store called Google Play. On your Apple phones, you have an app store where you can go and you can download this app for free. It costs you nothing. And it gives you access to morning, noon and evening devotions all year round. But during this season, our devotions will be all themed to match with our preaching series and small group study as well. There'll be great little videos for us to watch each week in our small groups that will give us an insight into life in with the Desert Fathers from all those years ago. I don't know how you go downloading apps, but if you are someone who has an Apple phone or an Android phone and you struggle to download apps, there's some options. Find someone younger who might better help you. And so today I'm opening up the door to say that if any of you want a hand, I'll try and help you. There might be a few little hurdles to jump through depending how well you have set up your phone. Otherwise, talk to a grandchild this week and say, can you help me? I really want to get this app on my phone. Pastor says it's going to be really good to use. Or if you've got it on your phone already and you know how to do it, just let some other friends know and you might better help them as well. Together, we will help each other access this amazing resource. So, 2 weeks' time, we hit the road with this Lenten series about the Desert Fathers and Mothers discovering faith in the wilds of the wilderness. There's one other thing we want to share today. and it relates to an opportunity that has come up only as of yesterday. And to speak to this, I'd like to invite Wendy forward. Where's Wendy? Thanks, Wendy. Come on down.
No.
Well, I can help you with your apps. I'll try.
I can do the apps, I think.
Okay.
Okay. I'd like to start this with something in the children's book Wind in the Willows by Kenneth Graham. Ratty says to his friend Mole, and some of you all know this, "Believe me, my young friend, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, half as much worth doing as simply messing about in boats. Now, I've got an invitation for you to just do that." And it arrived yesterday, and it's been organised by, would you believe, Harbour Village. Their social director, Robin Turley, who is a real go-getter, has organised this trip and invited us to join with the village to take two boats along the Coorong, along the river, and to the lakes. It is a full-day trip, 6 hours. It usually costs $180, but Robin has beat them down to $150. This includes a six-hour trip on the boats, includes morning tea, lunch and afternoon tea. It leaves on Sunday, the 14th of September, the 14th of June, sorry, I'm reading the next page down.
There is another one on the 14th of September, but we're going on the June one.
Yeah, we're going on the June one. The village will leave on their boat at 9:30. We will leave on our boat at 10 a.m. One will head down the Coorong, the other one will go to the lakes. There will be a bus trip where we will get off our boats and go for lunch.
Yes.
And we will be together then, and then we swap boats, and then the people that were on the Coorong will do the lakes, and the people that were on the lakes will do the Coorong. So what a fabulous thing for us to be invited to join. And I think there is a little section on that. There is a form out there that we must have 30 people. I don't think that will be hard to do. But please, if you are a resident of the village, don't put your name on our list. Otherwise, we won't get our 30 people. I know you're going to get yours over there. But I'm assuming that we might even be able to swap boats. This is a full-day experience for us all, and don't be frightened. Pastor assures me we won't be missing out on church. We'll be doing something else. So that's about all I've got to say. But there is something that was written on the form that I thought might interest some people. Autumn and winter is some of the most spectacular scenic times in the Coorong and on the lakes. It's a favourite time of the year for our skippers and crew, so grab a jacket, a hat or a scarf and enjoy a warming dram of port on board. Mm-hmm. I know that'll interest some of you. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Wendy. So please, if that interests you, make sure you put your name down on the expressions of interest form today. Because, of course, Wendy's believing that we'll find 30 people from the congregation who are interested. But unless we can find that 30 to guarantee, the plan may need to be adjusted this week. So this is a chance to test the waters on how interested we might be. And the beautiful thing about this when I first heard about it was, as a congregation, we are planted amongst the village. And we have a chance to potentially continue to build relationships by sharing the same cruises on the same day. So keep that thought in mind as you consider giving your expressions of interest. Marilyn, over to you to finish off as our worship guide.
Oh, that sounds like an amazing cruise, so I think I'll be putting my name down for that. So now we come to the conclusion. Now I'd like you to join us for tea and coffee. We have barista coffee or ordinary tea and coffee. The barista coffee is cash only today.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No, it's credit as well.
Oh, credit and cash, sorry. So, whatever you like, you've got your options open there, and I'm sure there's some lovely morning tea there. Visitors, we'd love for you to sign our visitors book before you leave. It's nice to know that you've been and where you've come from, and stay and chat to people. It would be really lovely to hear from you. Now, as we send you out, as you go today, the light of Christ go with you. His love may guide your steps. His peace may steady your hearts. And his compassion open your eyes to the people who need hope and kindness this week. Go out with courage. Shine God's light in ordinary moments and be a model of his grace wherever you are sent. So go in peace. Amen. And now we just sing, have our last song.